You're listening to Strictly Business Podcast with Lindsay Williams.
It's Wednesday, so it's time for Wayne on Wednesday. Wayne McCurry is a portfolio manager at FNB Wealth and Investment in Johannesburg. Last week we couldn't speak because of load shedding, and that compromised the quality of the signal. How's it played out since then? Give me an idea, because I'm in the Netherlands, you're in South Africa. It seems to me you've got used to it these days.
Yes, well, you do learn to cope. I mean, everyone knows we went to stage six over the weekend, and now we're at, thank goodness, stage five. You know, what a relief.
What does that mean?
Where I'm at, well, you lose a number of hours of electricity per day or per week. But now today in particular, in Kaya Sands, where my garage is, the scheduled load shedding, we should just call it blackouts. Load shedding is a euphemism.
Yes.
It's actually quite interesting. Load shedding is just a technical term that Eskom first used when they had to shed load.
It's a power cut.
So and then it caught on. It's a purely technical, you know, electrical technical expression. But anyway, so we had scheduled load shedding from 8 in the morning till 12:30.
4.5 hours.
Now, you don't normally get these. No, but that's only like every third day you get the 4.5 hours. You normally only get the 2.5 hours. But so that's it. And then again from 4 o'clock now, in other words, now, yeah, it's 4:30 now, until 6:30. The problem is the power only came on at 20 to 4. And then guess what happened at 4 o'clock?
Off it went.
It went off again. Mm-hmm. So we had power for 20 minutes today. But yes, to answer the question, obviously you do cope. So at home I've got an inverter which can power two lights, a TV, the Mnet and the internet. And I've got a gas stove. And then I've got a couple of little torches you carry around with you. And it's very interesting. I've only noticed it now, and I've just bought one. You can buy a rechargeable light bulb. It's only 100 rand, and it charges when the electricity is on, and then it turns on automatically when the power goes off. It's not bright, but it's certainly better than no light. And I think it's actually quite a wonderful thing. I think you can get about 3 hours or 4 hours out of it maybe. But for 100 rand, you can have a light in the room that turns on automatically when there's load shedding.
Doesn't turn the television on, though, does it?
But still, a light's better than carrying a torch around or a candle, you know, at 100 rand. You know, you can't even buy a decent torch for 100 rand.
Can't buy a decent meal for 100 rand either. And we'll come to that later on.
You learn to cope, so I've got gas. I've got a gas stove at home, so I can always eat and I can always boil water and have a cup of coffee. And at the garage, I've got a generator, so it's only really the big equipment, the three-phase equipment that I can't use. But still, you know, you can burn, 300 rands petrol a day?
Mm.
If you use it, you know, if you use it the whole day, you can easily burn 300 rands petrol. So, yeah, it's difficult, but we don't have to worry. You know that, Lindsay. We don't
have to worry.
Why do you
not have to worry? I mean, I was talking to Shapiro last night.
You know why? You know why we don't have to worry?
No, I don't. You're going to tell me.
Flew back, no. Our president flew back early from overseas to sort it out. So why must we worry?
Yeah, I saw him at Westminster Abbey, and he didn't look concerned, but he, as you said, he flew back straight away.
Short. Mm. He especially cut his overseas trip short to come back here and sort it out.
And
so in other words, we don't have to worry.
You're in good hands.
He came back here to sort it out for us.
Very good, yes. I admire his will and his stoicism and his dedication. Just like the Queen, of course. Maybe he was soaking up my late Majesty's conviction to serving the nation, serving her people, serving her subjects. And I think that rubbed off on Ramaphosa. It was a Ramaphosa rub-off.
Yeah, because why he came back was, last time we had stage six load shedding, he was also overseas and he didn't come back and there was a huge outcry.
Mm.
You know, he's not yet dealing with this major crisis. So he decided to come back. But there's no value that anyone can add right now. It's just a question of time until the independent power producers can produce enough power so that Eskom can stop load shedding. I mean, that is ultimately the only answer, because even if Eskom gets the new plants working better, because they're not working properly, the old ones are breaking down. I mean, these things were built in the 70s, man. They should have been retired 10 years ago, if not 20 years ago. So there's nothing no one can do. I mean, everyone wants to, the EFF in Parliament yesterday or the day before, whenever, they want to fire the whole board of Eskom, and they want to fire André de Ridder. Fire them all, and you can go and get
there's
the
no one
best
to replace
manager
them,
in the whole world.
There's no one to replace them, because even, there's a lack of skills, unfortunately, and people don't want to work for Eskom.
But even if you go worldwide and you get the absolute best skills available in the world, full stop, there's nothing you could do in the shorter term. We're having load shedding. That's it.
And
you can't build a power station. You can't. These things all take time.
Let's not get political. Well, we've already got political in a certain way, when you rather sarcastically saying that Cyril Ramaphosa, the President of the Republic, came back early with your tongue firmly planted in your cheek. But as I said to Shapiro last night, Shapiro's gone off on one of his jaunts, as usual. He's gone off to see his family in New York and Boston. Yeah, which is fine.
He's gone gallivanting. Again.
Yes, he has. He's a gallivanter.
He's a
gadabout. He gads about. But anyway, let's not talk about his personal life, because he's worked very, very hard, and he's very, very old, and he should have the right to go and have some fun.
He's entitled to go gallivanting now. Yeah.
Exactly. Okay, but the point is, I was talking to him, and I said, why aren't you South Africans marching as women did on that famous occasion? Why aren't you marching to the union buildings and saying, enough is enough now? I know you're tinkering too much, and you probably don't want to. But I would have thought that, like the Iranian women are doing at the moment, there should be protests about something which is so fundamental, i.e.
I agree with you, there should be, but this is a democratically elected government by the majority of the people, so you will be protesting against your own government.
Things change, Wayne.
That you elected.
But you change. Yeah. You say, okay, next time we won't vote for you.
No, I got you on that. Look, sometimes with a very positive outcome, and sometimes, unfortunately, with a negative outcome, South Africans as a whole are incredibly tolerant people. When you think the absolute chaos and mayhem and bloodshed and civil war we could have got under apartheid.
Yes.
Didn't happen. You know? But, you know, also you now have people tolerate the government, you know, and all the corruption and the load shedding.
It's because, as I said to David last night, David Shapiro, they've been numbed into submission. They just say, you know what, it doesn't matter. You said that these power stations, this infrastructure has been in place since the 1970s. So that's the apartheid government that never thought that a black middle class would expand and therefore expand the use of electricity. So they didn't do it. So they weren't forward thinking.
No. What? It's actually quite interesting. I know a little bit about this.
Go on.
They built so many power stations in the 1970s, they had excess power. And they sold the excess power to the aluminium smelters in Richards Bay. Now, the aluminium smelters in Richards Bay use more power than the Western Cape. They're big consumers of power.
Yes.
Then the ANC government was warned, and my dates might be wrong, but I think in the late 90s, 97, 98, we're warned that in a few years' time, we're going to run out of electricity. We've got to build power stations. And the government at the time under Thabo Mbeki, for all the very good reasons, said we want to get the private sector involved in generating power, because we don't want this to rely on one entity to supply power to the country.
That was 35 years ago.
Unfortunately, at 22 cents or 18 cents a kilowatt hour, no one came in, because you weren't going to make money. I mean, in those days, Eskom was maybe not by far, but one of the cheapest power generators in the world, because they had spent the capital in 1970. You know, so power was incredibly cheap, and that's one of the reasons why the aluminium smelters are in Richards Bay. not because we haven't got bauxite here. We had to import the bauxite from Australia, then export. So we were effectively exporting electricity in the form of aluminium. And then the ANC under Thabo Mbeki dawdled about this and dawdled about this. And then all of a sudden, a wonderful thing happened. We hit the biggest growth spurt that we've had as a country since the 1960s on the back of a high gold price. I mean, our economy grew at 4.5% a year. And so, in other words, this, let's call it D-Day of running out of electricity, wasn't in 10 years' time. It was all of a sudden in 3 years' time. Because, you know, all the long-term projections were electricity consumption would go up by 1.8 to 2.2% per year. So we still had this 10, 12 years to sort it out. All of a sudden, you only had 3 years to sort it out. And then our economy grew so strongly on the back of high commodity prices and lower interest rates in South Africa on the back of our Reserve Bank killing inflation. And the government, this was Trevor Manuel, we killed inflation, interest rates fell, the economy surged ahead on the back of that and the Chinese commodity boom. And we grew so strongly, we ran out of electricity. Now, that should have only lasted about 4 years, the load shedding, because we built Medupi and Kusele, and they were supposed to be online, online in 4 years. You know, 10 years later, they're still not online, and even the units that are online are only producing at 60% of nameplate capacity because of fundamental design and construction errors. So that's where
we are. And corruption and theft.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. It took twice as long and cost three times as much, and it's still not working.
Okay, but anyway, the point is that you've had 20 minutes of power today, but thank goodness this line is very good, whereas last week it was simply awful.
Yes, now, thank goodness for that.
Thank goodness for that, and you can make yourself a cup of coffee later with your self-charging light bulb.
Yes.
Right. Now, the other things that have been worrying me today, apart from your power and apart from the fact that there's somebody drilling next door to me building some sort of bathroom thing, and I told him to shut up, but he hasn't. Okay. You've got the US Federal Reserve. At around about 8 o'clock yes. South African time this evening, they will probably say that we've raised interest rates by 75 basis points. And
yes.
Everybody knows that that's baked into the price, as they say, that corny old saying, it's baked into the price of the markets
yes.
at the moment. But what they say afterwards, maybe that will change it. Then maybe they'll say this is just the first of another 375 basis
yeah.
point rises. Then you've got the Bank of England tomorrow. There are numerous other central banks doing the same thing. And the other thing is that's slightly disturbing to me, Wayne, and again, getting back to politics, is the rise of the right wing in Europe, Sweden and Italy, notably, because there's going to be a far right leader of Italy quite soon, from what I understand. And Sweden's,
yep.
it was a narrow vote, but Sweden's right wing, because yep. of some, again, some problems with violence that has been attributed to immigrants. They've been voted in. So there's some things going on. And of course, I haven't even mentioned
yeah.
that I was watching TV this morning at around about 8:30 our time and your time. And Putin came on television, Russian television, and said he's going to add another 300,000 troops. And he said to the West, if you mess around, he essentially said the following, if you mess around with what's going on in the Ukraine, which is now Russian, essentially, because they're holding this false referendum, then he sort of threatened a nuclear conflagration. So it's not great, Wayne.
Yeah. No, it's not good, but that's Putin talking, and he's talking his book, and he's a strong man. Look, two comments. First of all, a right-wing government in Italy, I don't think we've got to worry about, because they probably won't last a year, because that seems to be the Italian way.
Yes.
You know, they've had 60, 70 governments since the Second World War, so I don't think that's a particular problem.
Right.
But the second thing is, Putin, I'm sure, expected to win this war in weeks.
Daisy.
Because, I mean, it's the Ukraine.
Mm.
And he's Russia. So clearly something's wrong there. Clearly it's not working as well as what he thought it would work or what he was told that it would work. So, I mean, I hear the nuclear threat story. I mean, obviously it's a concern, but, He said, I'm not even sure that the things will work anymore, judging by the how long it's taken for years to add another 300,000 troops to something that I'm sure you went in there. He didn't go in there low scale to take 5 years to win the war. You went in there big with what he had. And so far, you know, it hasn't quite yielded the same results that he expected. So, but that's just saber rattling. That, I mean, yeah. So I don't think we got to treat that as a serious threat. But
he's gone loopy. He's gone mad, Wayne. He's gone completely mad. It's like having a fund manager who suddenly loses his mind, gets dementia or something, and starts pressing the buy button instead of the sell button or something like that. He is capable of doing something because he wants to be Peter the Great.
but you must remember, there's a whole, you know, look, I don't know. I doubt it in the extreme.
Okay, good.
That would actually happen to that. I doubt that. Absolutely in the extreme at that, it would sort of degenerate into a nuclear war. So, yeah.
Okay, let's talk about the Fed now. If the Fed raises by 75 basis points, what do you think? Do you think, oh, thank goodness they didn't raise by 100 basis points? Or do you think, oh, my goodness, money is more expensive now by 0.75%?
Yeah. That's the second one. And it's going to go up more and more.
Mm.
But, you know, I'll come back to what we've been discussing quite extensively over the last while. This whole inflation thing, inflation, no matter what anyone says, and, of course, in the markets you normally get three views, one in the middle and then two extremes, one on the top and one at the bottom.
Right.
Inflation is going to fall rapidly second half of next year. And I mean rapidly. So, you know, I still maintain we're going to see interest rate cuts at the end of next year. And then this whole, and it is a scare. I mean, obviously inflation's at 40-year highs. It is a scare. But then that scare will dissipate and some form of normality will return back to economic life and markets and stuff like that. So, I mean, it's still, you know, second half of next year, end of next year, still a long way off. But this inflation is not as ingrained as the 1970s inflation, yes, for two reasons. The majority is what's called supply side, so it's the oil price and food prices. Although in America, obviously, there is some of the other type of inflation, which is demand inflation, which essentially is wages. But in an economic recession will sort that out rapidly. So what went wrong in the 70s is that the Reserve Bank didn't act against inflation because they were worried about the economic effect of raising interest rates. And make no mistake, I mean, I've quoted this so many times, inflation is enemy number one. And Powell said that where's that place again where they have the big shindig?
Jackson Hole.
Hmm. Yeah, he said it. He said it in no uncertain terms at all, that irrespective of the economic consequences, they will contain inflation.
There's one thing that I sort of thought about. I tend to think too much when there's no football matches on. I looked at the US dollar, and I'm looking at it now, and it's below 0.99. In other words, 1 euro only buys you 99 US cents.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, America is an importer, isn't it? It imports goods. Okay, so the dollar is so strong that it's probably importing not deflation, but it's importing low inflation. Yeah. So that is eventually going to filter through the system.
Correct.
So your prognosis that next year there will be a dramatic fall in inflation and therefore a fall in interest rates actually might play out, Wayne.
Yeah. I'm firmly convinced that it will play out. Yeah, inflation, longer term, doesn't worry me because the reserve banks are acting against it. Number one, and secondly, a lot of this is just it's exaggerated food inflation because of Ukraine being a big exporter of food, and it's exaggerated energy because Russia is a big supplier of gas and oil.
Yeah.
These are not demand pull. Eh? It's cost push.
Yes.
And that's why it will dissipate, and it will dissipate rapidly. I mean, oil sitting at $92, you know, it was 125, it's 130.
It was 139 at its peak, actually, on a spike in the early hours of the morning. Okay, so what are you doing now? I know you've got money on the sidelines on behalf of your clients at F&B Wealth and Investment. I know you've got the money there. And I know that we spoke about when are you going to pull the trigger, because the markets were going up, but they've come back down again, and they've come back down quite substantially. What are you doing? Are you starting to ease
we're
into the market?
Still waiting.
You're still waiting.
Still waiting to buy. Right. Look, and it was harrowing weeks there, eh? Because
I know.
We thought the market will fall a little bit more, and then it rallies strongly, not quite back up to the previous highs, but not far off. And we thought, geez, were we wrong? Have we missed the opportunity? But it looks now as though it was just a bear market rally.
Mm.
I mean, obviously, when you have such unusual circumstances that are currently prevalent, and where the, you know, a year ago, a year and a half ago, you had the best 10 years for that equity has seen in living memory.
Right.
You get some incredibly negative comments coming out. I mean, Rubini yesterday or whenever said market's going to fall 40%. And we're going to have a year-long recession and a deep recession. Now, I don't think that's going to happen, as we've spoken about. There's no debt bubble, and that's a huge distinguishing factor between this period and previous recessions. But I still think the market's going to fall. So to give a number, 10% lower than this level, we'll be out there buying.
You'll be starting to buy. Okay, good. In that case, that's all I need to know. And hopefully the Rand won't be 19 or 19 and a half or 20 against the US dollar.
Yeah, the Rand's interesting. The Rand's interesting because when you look at the Rand on its own, it's 1780 or 1770.
Mm.
You think, sure, the Rand's collapsing. But you look at the Rand against the pound and against the euro, it ain't collapsing.
No, it's not. It's just the dollar. It's the dollar. It's dollar strength, not Rand weakness. Sometimes you get a couple of days where there are some outflows, but fundamentally, it's been dollar strength. I mean, the dollar's gone from 120 to below one against the euro. For goodness sake, it's been a massive, massive move. Okay, Wayne, well, we've cleared that up. We've sorted out the politics of the world. We've sorted out when you're going to start buying the markets. We know what the Fed's going to do tonight. We don't know what the Bank of England's going to do tomorrow, but of course they'll raise rates by 25 basis points or something. That's fine. Now we have to talk about food. Wayne, I have to tell you something. I went to my butcher and I said, I'm making a beef curry because the weather has turned here. It's now quite chilly.
Oh, I'm sure it has, yes.
It's autumn. So, of course, the first thing that happens when the weather turns chilly is you think of curry. And you're a huge curry fan, I know that. So I thought, what do I do? Is it chicken or fish or prawn or lamb curry? I thought, no, it's got to be a beef curry, a big, proper, meaty beef curry. So I went to him and he said, okay, the best thing. And he showed me the chart of the cow. And he said something near the shoulder, and he said, I've got that for you, it's perfect. And he cut it in front of me, and he cut it into cubes, beautiful cubes. And what I did was I put it in one of those Ziploc plastic bags with a paste that I made. I made it with obviously oil, with some cumin, coriander, garam masala, curry powder. There was a couple of others.
Did you put garlic in?
Normal curry powder. Oh, for goodness sake, yeah. I smashed that garlic in my mortar and pestle. I put some ginger in there as well. And I mixed it up into a paste. I popped it in the bag. I shook it around a bit. And I marinated these cubes of beef for 24 hours. Then I cooked it with a load of onions. And a little bit of celery as well, I have to admit, and sort of browned it, added tomato, a tin of chopped Italian tomatoes, and some beef stock, and just let that cook for about 4 or 5 hours slowly, Wayne. But the interesting thing is that I didn't have rice with it. I bought some cauliflower rice from the local supermarket. I would do it myself, but I'm lazy. Cauliflower rice. Which is because I'm trying to cut down on my carbohydrates due to the ravages of being at home during COVID. Yeah, I may have put on a pound or two. So I thought, well, okay, no carbohydrates, cauliflower rice. I cooked it, salted it, put a big knob of lovely unsalted Irish butter on the top, mixed it all up, and I tell you, Wayne, it was heaven. I thought of you.
I must say, I'm salivating here. It sounds too delicious for words, I must say. The only two negatives, and these are very small negatives.
Okay, number one.
I'm not sure the celery added value.
Just tiny bits of celery.
I just don't think it added value.
Okay, well, in that case, I'll remove personally, it next time. Okay, so
then,
no celery.
And then the second one is unsalted Irish butter. One of the true pleasures I've discovered in life.
Yes.
Is salted butter. And I actually buy Lurpak, which I think is Danish.
It's Danish. It definitely is Danish.
It's delicious.
Yes, but you see, that's good for toast, toast with Marmite, and I'm a Marmite
yes,
fan.
Yes, yeah.
That's good, but to cook with, you add your own salt and everything. But anyway, the point is...
I suppose so, yes. No, that's...
90% approval rating from you on this particular dish.
Yeah.
Okay, and you, what have you been up to?
No, probably 95% there.
Thank you very much, I'm honoured.
Yeah.
And you?
I would have overlooked the celery. Now, I've actually got two food stories to tell you, and the Lurpak story reminded me last night.
Mm-hmm.
The power came on at 8:30, I think.
Righto.
At home. And we've already eaten because we sorted it out before the power went off. And I was feeling peckish, as I unfortunately tend to do at about 8:30, 9:00 at night.
Who doesn't? Yeah.
And I thought, what's around? And I found some lovely scones in the bread thing. And I cut the scone in half, and I put one half in each piece of the toaster, and I pushed the toaster down. And then the toaster went pop, and then you've got to get two knives to get the scone out.
But isn't the scone too thick to get into the toaster?
Oh. No, you cut it in half.
Yeah, I know, but I'm saying, even if it's a proper English scone.
No. Sometimes you have a few technical issues, but most of the time you can dig it out without too much damage with two knives.
Without getting electrocuted, yeah.
And then I go into the fridge to have a look, and there's no jam.
Oh, no. Surely your partner should be taken to task on this one. It's her responsibility.
She was chastised about that, make no mistake.
Okay.
And I'm sure it won't happen again. So then I scratched around to have a look, what can I put on my scones? So I put Lurpak on, obviously.
Obviously.
And then I scratched around and I found for the one half, I put on sandwich spread.
Oh no! Come on, sandwich spread on an English scone.
Yeah, and then on the other half, I put on crunchy peanut butter and syrup.
That's not so bad.
And they were equally as delicious.
I can't believe
then
it.
Then the second very quick food story.
Go on then.
There's, you would not think that Kaya Sand and surrounding area is a culinary resort, you wouldn't think so. No. But there's a certain place, one main road away, about 10, 15 minutes away,
yes,
on Bayers Nordea, called the Honey Rock Motel. Now, I think we might have spoken about this before, but you drive past it and you are a little bit cautious about going in there because outside appearances are, they're deceiving. Because when you drive past it, you think, is it okay to go there? But they've got the most fantastic Portuguese restaurant. So we went there on Friday.
Yes.
And you sit outside, and of course it's summer here. Now you sit outside under little, lapas, whatever you want to call it. Nice, just straightforward trestle table sitting, nothing fancy, nothing fancy. And you can have the best selection of Portuguese food there.
For example?
There were about six or seven of us, and we just ordered for the whole table. So we had chorizo, calamari, peri-peri chicken livers.
Mm.
Their Portuguese rolls were fantastic. And then for the main course, we had skinny chops, prego steak, prawns, and that's about it. That's about it.
You're a lotus
eater. The real story is their peri-peri sauce.
Do they make it themselves?
They make it themselves. It is the most delicious I have ever eaten in my life.
Better than Nando's, and better than anything else.
Better than any. It's the best I've ever. It's not killer. It doesn't blow your top of your head off.
Doesn't melt your teeth.
It doesn't melt you. It's hot. I mean, it's peri peri sauce, but it is so smooth and it is totally and utterly delicious. Oh, so I bought 2 bottles of it.
Oh, they sell it as well. Oh God.
2 750 milliliter bottles. And what's interesting, the one's called Smirnoff and the other one's called Captain Morgan. They just sell it in washed out old alcohol bottles.
So that's two wine bottle size bottles of Peri Peri.
Yeah, 750, yeah. Well, I'm just hoping that the 2 bottles will last me a week the way that at the rate I'm consuming it.
Mm. Okay, now I'm seriously hungry. It's 5:02.
Maybe my Opus 8, 9 o'clock scone tonight, I might put Peri Peri sauce on it.
No, please, Wayne, you've got to be respectful. The Queen's only just died, and she did the following. She had the scone, freshly baked by Buckingham Palace or Windsor Castle or Sandringham or Balmoral Castle. She cut it in half, or they cut it in half. She put on some butter, or they did, and then strawberry jam on the bottom, clotted Devonshire cream on the top.
Oh, I must say clotted cream. And somehow you could only get clotted cream in the UK. I mean, I've had some here in South Africa.
It doesn't travel well.
It's not as nice.
No, it doesn't travel well. It's not as nice. Unfortunately. Gosh, I'm hungry. Okay, Wayne, thank you very much for your time this evening. And good luck with the load shedding. Wayne McCurry is a portfolio manager at FNB Wealth and Investment. And that was Wayne on Wednesday. The views and opinions expressed in these podcasts are those of Lindsay Williams and various contributors and do not reflect the policy, position, or opinion of any other agency, organization, employer, or company associated with strictlybusinesspodcast.com. Assumptions made on the analyses are not reflective of the position of any other entity other than the speaker or the author. And since we are critically thinking human beings, these views are always subject to change, revision, and rethinking at any time. Please do not hold us to them in perpetuity.